This is Bart Isley, and I'm here with Ryan Eamon for the Scrimmage Play Podcast. We're ready, getting into really sort of, in some places, we're getting into a little bit of a stretch run type situation. I mean, we only got a month left in some of these seasons, and we got an exciting spring sort of building right now. And we're going to start, though, by talking a little more. We're going to take a step backwards a little bit, more of a 10,000-foot view of what's, you know, happened with Orange County athletics in general over the last few years, and what, you know, maybe it wasn't, it certainly wasn't the maybe the most heralded step, but beating Louisa in baseball the other night was yet another in like a sort of a really exciting renaissance of Orange County athletics.
Yeah, that's Coach Dave Raby's fourth year with the program, and he mentioned the first time that they've beaten Louisa County. So that's not just for him, that's for his entire group of seniors. Those kids have been there since fall of 2013, and so it's sort of a centennial moment for them. And Louisa County Baseball has been one of the most consistent programs, period, in baseball through and through over the last 10 years. So beating them any year means something, and beating them this year when they're very good means even more. But, yeah, for some reason, Orange Baseball, I mean, you think about it, that was such a great program before they wound up in the Commonwealth District under Jesse Lohr. At the time, in 2009, they make a state tournament run with DJ Brown and the gang, and it was a really sort of humming program, and they wind up taking a couple rebuild years, and then they just struggled, and after they gump back into the JD, they deal with a whole bunch of transfers and things where they lost a lot of talent, so they were just sort of leaning on this amazing group of youth, but they were so young, it was just taking them a long time to develop. Last year, as we saw, like, sort of the first steps forward, and this year, another big leap forward, and so they've really gotten back to where they were 8-9 years ago, and yeah. It's just really refreshing to see. We love these sort of comeback stories. I mean, think about what Orange football did 2 years ago and how cool that was for everybody in the community. This is the baseball program in that same sort of mode right now.
Yeah, I mean, To give you some backstory on kind of what's happened, you know, Orange County got shifted up because of population into Group 5A, which put them into it was Group 3A then.
Yeah, 3A Division 5.
We're going to get confused here. Yeah. Like, they're getting around it. But they got moved into that spot, and that put them in the Commonwealth District back before we went through the full redistricting where teams of various districts could play each other. So that, you know, the Commonwealth District, as Almar folks who've been around a while know, yeah, the Commonwealth District is a very, very difficult district.
It's a gauntlet.
Yeah, it produces a lot of some of the state's best teams.
And you're talking a lot of Fredericksburg schools. And then after you get through that district, if you were to make it to the region, just these beasts from Northern Virginia that you have to deal with. So everybody in Orange dreaded that sort of moment, and I think only wrestling and softball were the ones that...
Those were the two kind of bellwethers that held them, yeah, you know, kept them afloat. You know, football, it was obviously very difficult. I mean, you're playing schools like Colonial Forge and Massaponics that are state powers, and they... you know, they didn't take it easy on Orange, and why would they? And it just, that step up in level for football was very difficult. That step up was very difficult in basketball. Softball, it was difficult, no question about it, but they pulled it off because they had sort of a giant cohort of talent.
They had Asia Richardson.
Yeah,
that takes care of
it. Yeah, that took care. And Orange's wrestling program was strong enough to survive in what is a very difficult wrestling, area. I mean, you get, again, those schools like Colonial Forge and Stafford and North Stafford and all of them are just very, you know, big time challenges when it comes to those sort of sports. And those two rose up and were able to kind of meet the challenge. But those 2 years were rough on so many programs, and you could see the hangover, as I think you put it, you know, when we were talking about this podcast, you know, that had an effect. It had a lasting effect.
Yeah, it wasn't just the 2 years they were there. It was at least the 2 years afterwards. And it affects things like participation and just general mood of kids wanting to come out and play sports. If you feel like that you're signing up for, I mean,
morale matters.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be too harsh on any generation, but because ours was no different.
Sure.
But there is such a thing as front running. Yeah. And it's easy to come out and work hard for a team when they're really good and you know they're going to be good. Yeah. It's much more difficult to pull yourself up by the bootstraps in this case, particularly, you know, in baseball, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just all about the batters. You have to have a strong pitching staff, and that's what they finally built is the quality of depth. We know Bradley Hanner's going to be amazing. You got to bring up the Cannon Davies and so forth of the world and get them to play at a high level. You need that depth.
And you need coaches, and we talked about Dave Raby. We talked about Jesse Lohr. I mean, those guys, have been a huge help in sort of what they've been able to do. And there's others. I mean, they have stepped up in a really big way to really make that thing go. And they've got a new boys basketball coach in Adam Moots, who I think has got the chance to be really good young guy who it makes us feel a little bit old since we covered him. But, it's good to see a guy like that getting involved. It seems like the culture is back over there in a big way, and that makes all the difference. But beyond coaches, you need Trey Smiths. I mean, that's a guy who's had a huge role in the renaissance of two different programs, in baseball and in football, and he's laid some foundation in basketball as well. But baseball and football, Trey Smith has been a big factor in bringing those two back.
Yeah, I guess one hand washes the other, right? You have a coaching staff that's sort of dedicated itself to being around that community all the time. I mean, Dave Raby, coaches the girls' basketball team. He's on the baseball team. He's always at that school.
Yeah.
It's a face you're always seeing. Young guy, very personable. Well, so you get a Trey Smith, who is also, a funny kid, very personable as well. They sort of feed off of each other. And when you find a way to make, you talk to any athlete, if you don't love practice, then you don't love the sport.
Right.
And so when these coaches find a way to make practice a fun event to be around, everybody benefits. The players get better, obviously, because it's just a better environment. And then something just starts to build.
You get buy-in.
When hard work becomes fun, you've got something.
I think when you get buy-in from if a guy like Trey Smith is there and he's busting it during games and he's working really hard. I saw Trey a couple of weeks ago against Altmar in baseball. A couple of errors, but then the guy turns around and bounces back and essentially manufactures his own run. And we've seen him manufacture yards from nothing sometimes. And I think that when you get, that kind of buy-in where a guy is clearly putting it out there, he's clearly laying it on the line, that feeds the other guys around him. And you've seen,
it's contagious.
This supporting cast, D'Angelo Hunt too, is another guy you got to talk about that football wise made a huge, impact and what he did. And Bradley Hanner in baseball has, last year, we talked about it last week, he single-handedly, it felt like, led him on that run. And they were getting it done from little pieces all over the place. But what mattered was that Bradley Hanner was on the hill and he was making
it. He struck the most fear in other teams. Yeah. And those guys, they wind up being inspirational to their teammates. And they allow their coaches to be a little creative at times, too, because they have this sort of sure thing that they can always count on. So, yeah, I think one sort of works to the other's advantage. And before we were talking about, maybe it's a similar situation when it comes to baseball for Orange, what happened up at William Monroe when Mike Maynard took over and that program, how you knew the talent was there. It was just a matter of sort of tapping into it. And I think it's his second year they have a state championship to their name. And they've always been the front runner in the Bull Run District since he's been there. And, maybe it's a similar situation to that where the talent sort of fits the coach.
I think there's a pretty good analogy to be made between William Monroe generally and Orange. William Monroe went through a tough stretch, particularly in football, but they had the girls' basketball program was playing really well under Philip Lamb. I think it was, they were the standouts, sort of like Orange softball.
They always felt like they were the 2A school playing the 3As and 4As when they were in the JD.
And then
they haven't been in the JD since 2011.
Yeah, and they get into the Bull Run. Football got it going for they've been certainly a much improved program. And when you get a guy like John Rocha who's getting involved, and he's a community guy, he played there, he won a state title there. When you get that kind of not only buy-in from you know, guys who are on the team, but buy-in from coaches who are willing to put in that extra time and build on foundations that were laid before them, and also, you know, get it to where it needs to be and sell out to it, then it changes everything. And Mike Maynard is just a, we've said before, if it was Tiddlywinks that he was coaching, yeah, he'd figure out a way to win a state championship at that. He tries to figure out ways to win, and he's very good strategically. And so, you know, when you get guys like Rabe over at Orange, or you get guys like Lore, you know, you get those guys who understand the game really well and also understand the community, it's just a game changer.
I think we're seeing that from so many of the athletic directors now that, you know, it's almost like we're talking produce. You hire local. there's something to it. I mean, I know John Roche has talked about having played on that, for that team, and successfully played for them. That was a state title team that he was on.
Yeah.
Getting to show them that ring, that means a lot to the kids that, okay, they grew up here. And you don't even have to be from the same school. I mean, if it's one of the schools that's around, and we're seeing, like, Adam Utz is an example over at Orange, you know, played for Albemarle, he knows the area, people get it. It can be something like that, where they've seen, if you've come up from this area and you've made it, that means something to them. They're willing to believe what you have to say more often than not. I think that's been sort of the direction that so many of the athletic directors have tried to go in, and we're seeing success from it so far.
And I think, too, like, student athletes are smart, man. I mean, they can tell when it's genuine. They can tell when the guy's, you know, really putting it on for them. And I think that the coaches that Orange has brought along, and it's a testament to what Mark Cole's done in these last few years, those guys that he's wanted to give the nod to have produced that kind of, you know, that buy-in, and they've kind of made it. And you can't fool kids. You can't fool student athletes. And I think that those guys have proven it. If that you're genuine and you're kind of on point and you're going to be willing to have their back, then, you know, those student athletes, you know, I think a lot of times we hear people say, like, there's a lot of problems with kids these days or whatever. But, like, I think, you know, a lot of folks have pointed it out that, like, we've got to demand, you know, some different things, and coaches have to demand some things. And, you know, I think that really, you know, I think Frank Martin talked about it during the NCAA tournament. Like,
yeah,
this is you have to have accountability, and these guys have created accountability. And in the process too, they've gotten this incredible buy-in from a really good wave of talent. And those guys have really played hard for their school.
Yeah, you think about it, like the directional state universities, they had a really good coach, and he's talking about buying into this program, and then a year later, he's now coaching at some Big Ten school.
Sure.
So, I mean, accountability matters, and those kids feeling like the coaches are there working just as hard for them as, you know, they're working for each other, that this is something they're doing together, not sort of, you do this for me, I do that for you, and that's that, it ends there.
And it's, you know, beyond that, too, just focusing on last week, I mean, what a revenge, you know, win for Orange's baseball team.
Yeah, it was a strange night up there, because you have two of them going on sort of at the same time with Orange Louisa baseball. That's sort of the flip side of the coin there, where Louisa softball has had sort of some struggles against Orange. Lost just an absolute crazy game last year where they were up big and sort of watched it slip through their fingers in the last inning, and then they didn't get to play a second game. This is one that has been stewing for them for a while, that they've been waiting forward to. And Orange is a program that's young. It's a good program. I wouldn't call it a full rebuild. A lot of these young kids played for them last year. Lindsay Slaughter and Lexi Lomax. It's a very good team, particularly usually at the plate. But yeah, it meant a lot for that Louisa softball team to get over that hump. And I think last week was, you know, not a straight out revenge week, but we've got all these matchups, whether it's the JD or even stepping outside of it, where there's just fun sort of getting back for last year stories, or, you know, whether it was Orange baseball with, you know, first win in 4 years, or the softball team, you know, sort of that gap year trying to get that. I mean, it was an interesting little week the way it played out.
So when you see a program that uses, I think that's kind of the big key, is that everybody uses common opponents, guys, you know, teams that they've seen a lot. That's how you measure yourself. That's how you kind of stack yourself up. You know, if Louisa softball, Orange is obviously a major, you know, measuring stick, and to see, you know, what they've been able to do with that program and to get over that hump had to be, you know, it, we know it was big for them. You know, what did you kind of see from them as a program that allowed them to get to this?
Well, I mean, the big thing for them, 3 years ago, this is a team that was very good, but very young. And Jennifer Phelan took over as a coach, and they've hit this sort of moment now where all these kids are seniors. So Taylor Robinson, Hannah Fletcher, they got some young talent around them, but this core has been together for a long time. They grew up playing together, and so they're sort of really hitting their stride as just high school athletes and leaving their mark, their legacy, if you will. Louisa has always had the talent to be one of the better teams come playoff season. And for most of the part of the last 2 years, has been trying to develop pitching because they have so many bats in this lineup. Sarah Proctor and Kennedy Batchelor and a whole bunch of others, Morgan Mitchell. So they're really sort of starting to gel and hit all the right different notes. Beating Orange is one of those notes. It's something they sort of have to do as a program if you want to feel like, hey, we're making progress from last year.
And, you know, I think another example of a team, just kind of shift gears a little bit, that measures itself against some of the teams that play. Western Alamore Girls Lacrosse is a awfully good program that has done some really nice things in the last couple of years, and they're building towards this. They've been building towards a really good year this year. They're really fast. They can kind of move, and you know, but they've had struggles against St. Anne's Belfield, and you know, they've gotten a chance to play them, and that ends up being a measuring stick. They only lost to them 9-8, so they didn't complete sort of the full tilt, you know, revenge tour, a la North Carolina, you know, men's basketball, but they, you know, came really close to pulling it off. They've got to, you know, be able to build. You can build some confidence from something like that.
Yeah, it's stab when it comes to the boys' lacrosse and girls' lacrosse programs for the other teams in the area, particularly the public schools playing them. Like, that is the benchmark.
Yeah.
That is always the one that you circle. If you get them on the schedule, you can't wait to play them. And it means a lot. And sometimes there's a big gap between the two. To see that there isn't, I mean, that's a good sign for the local public school programs. It means that, I think it means the sport is spreading, growing. We hear Mary Blake at Stab talk a lot about just how much better the overall product, that the athletes that she sees goes up against, and then the ones she has, how much better they are, further developed they are than today. She's been at Stab for a long time, doing this, winning for a long time, and it's a better product right now.
When you look, you know, obviously, you play these other, you play your rivals, you play, you know, these other, but when you get a chance to measure yourself against the best, you also get a chance to improve. And there's no question that Western will be able to have picked up things that maybe makes a state championship run possible. And I think that when you get those kind of things happening, that's just a major positive. And that's why when you look ahead at the schedule the next couple of weeks, there's a lot to really be excited about, a lot of opportunity for growth, a lot of opportunity to learn some different things about what's going on with, you know, with those teams.
Yeah, and some more revenge. I mean, one of them we got circled, I think Western Alamore and Alamore Boys Soccer coming up there at the end of the month. It's going to be a great one.
Really cool event, too. They've got the girls and the boys varsity games are going to go at the same time in a doubleheader feature on a Saturday night under the lights out in Crow. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It seems like that's become a tradition. It's sort of what they did last year, and the results were fascinating last year, so we'll see if they can replicate it.
Yeah.
And then Madison Monroe anything is always good, but particularly when you look at the softball team, the rivalry those two have built since Monroe's improved so much over these last 5 years. That's a really good one. And the support, the way that the fans come out and get hyped up for that one is always fantastic. And that's coming up soon too.
You know, and I think that's what's going to be fun to watch is sort of how these things play out. This is, you know, we're getting to moving time. You know, this is where you are what you are, you know, at some level when you're in mid-April.
Yeah. So there's a couple schools on spring break this week. This is the last of it.
Yeah.
After that, everybody's just sort of full tilt.
We're running downhill after this.
And yeah, you've got yourself a couple weeks to prepare for the playoffs, and then it's off and running. So what needs fixing, you better get fixed in these next couple weeks, because otherwise it's crunch time.
Certainly. And we appreciate you listening. And hopefully, if you're checking us out, you're giving a look to our Patreon page. great chance to jump in, earn some cool rewards, and support, you know, sort of what we're doing. And we appreciate everybody who's kind of jumped in on that already. That's just been a huge help. And we really appreciate you listening. And we'll be weighing in on some of these other games that are big measuring stick games coming up in the next couple of weeks. And again, yeah, truly appreciate it. And we hope you'll listen in next time.